next case on the call is Brown versus State of Nebraska.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm here.
You're there for State, Brown versus State of Nebraska?
I'm here for Brown.
We're all here and we're ready to go.
Okay.
Please, proceed. Thank you.
May it please the court.
James R. Welch, representing the appellant, Aaron Brown. Think of yourself, I don't know how many of you have read the facts, but we've all been to state parks, and we probably, going to state parks, we have enjoyed the fishing, the hiking, the picnicking. In this particular case, although Mr. Brown was not picnicking, he was sitting at a picnic table. And while he was sitting at the picnic table, after he had done a little fishing, he decided to just sit back and see if he had any fish, or if any fish were going to get caught. So he came to the picnic table.
We probably need you to be back up here so
the microphone works. But think of this, because I was going to show you that while he was sitting at the picnic table, enjoying the lake, enjoying the view, all of a sudden, a truck-like lawnmower comes down and hits the picnic table and throws him forward, injuring him. I think of myself, and maybe you can think, next summer, going to a recreation area, hey, Pop-Pop, can we go fishing? And so I take three or four of my grandkids fishing to the recreation area, and we take some sandwiches, and we take some lemonade, and we take some cake, and so forth and so on, and put it on the picnic table. And now we're enjoying eating at the picnic table. And one of the little boys says, Pop Pop, there's a lawnmower coming down. Get away from the picnic table, pick up all the food, and let's get out of here because your grandfather is an attorney, and there is a case by Brown versus State that says that we got to get out of the way of a lawnmower sitting at a picnic table. That doesn't make sense. Sitting at a picnic table, having a nice picnic, it just isn't inherent for a lawnmower to bang into you and throw you onto the ground.
What risks would you contend are inherent to someone who is in a state park sitting at a picnic table?
Get away from the bear. Get away from the animals. Anything like that. Yes, get away from the picnic table under those circumstances. But you shouldn't have to go and sit down with a nice picnic and have to get out of the way.
Is there a difference between inherent risk as defined in the act and foreseeable risk?
No. I mean, anybody can foresee anything. But you shouldn't have to put people at a picnic table with food and everything else. Yeah, I guess you could foresee about anything coming at that picnic table. But under the circumstances of someone negligently operating a lawnmower, coming down and banging into you, that should not be an inherent risk. Not under those circumstances.
What are the risks that are characteristic to fishing?
It's been a while since I've done some fishing, but I think that sometimes in catching the fish, you might be pulled out into the lake, or maybe along the shoreline it's a little bit muddy and so forth, and you could slip or fall.
Can you identify the risks inherent in a recreational activity without precisely defining which recreational activity is at issue?
Yes, I think that under the
court here define which recreational activity was at issue?
This recreational activity that was at issue was sitting at a picnic table. That's what he was doing.
So you agree then with with the state on how to define the recreational activity here, because the state, in its brief, has defined it as sitting on a picnic table while the state mowed around the table.
And
do you agree with that?
Sitting at a picnic table and the state mowing around the picnic table, you're sitting there, but you shouldn't, it should not be a risk of us sitting at the picnic table. You are going to make it a risk sitting at the picnic table while the lawnmower banging into it.
I'm not talking about the risk right now. I'm talking about the recreational activity and whether that is important to set in place the rest of the analysis.
No.
You don't think it is? So it's any old recreational activity?
I don't care what it is. You should not have to move from a picnic table and get out of the way of a lawnmower. That should not be an inherent risk.
So this is the first case where we've been asked to interpret this statute.
That's true.
And I assume as a practitioner, you would agree that it would be helpful to come up with a framework for trial judges and lawyers like yourself to apply. And I'm sort of asking for your help on that, sir.
I think under the circumstances of it being a picnic table, and you can foresee that people sitting at a picnic table are not going to be able to get out of the way, and they aren't even going to think about it being an inherent risk. It just isn't an inherent risk. I can think of a bear being an inherent risk or some other things being an inherent risk, but not when I have my family sitting at a picnic table, and just because we may hear a lawnmower, down on the lawn somewhere or wherever.
What's your understanding of what this exception to the waiver of sovereign immunity is for? What's the purpose of it? Why are these kinds of risks excluded from the waiver of sovereign immunity?
Because it's the state of Nebraska and any state, because we're trying to protect the state from getting sued and us
having to pay. There's a waiver, and so why are the lines drawn the way they are?
Because of what we're doing at a picnic table. We're sitting down as a family, as in a picnic table, and we shouldn't have to be worried about and looking around where's the lawnmower, especially when I've got 3- and 4-year-olds and maybe a baby sitting at that picnic table.
I think Justice Papik was alluding to, isn't there a public policy interest of making it more likely for a state to make a recreational area available to the public where there is a limit on liability than they might otherwise do? In other words, the policy choice for the state, if their liability is perceived to be too great, is they won't provide the recreational area. And the policy the legislature was attempting to invoke, if you will, is to promote providing those recreational opportunities. Is that a fair characterization?
I agree with you.
Okay.
I agree with you.
When you get to the statutory language, what's the significance of the phrase is inherent risk of recreational activities. How important is the word activities? It doesn't say inherent risk of being in a recreational area. It's the risk of engaging in recreational activities.
In a recreational activity sitting at a picnic bench.
Okay. There's
no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, that's the whole purpose of, when you go to a recreational park or you go to a state park, you're going to take your basket of food and you're going to sit at the picnic table and enjoy.
That's activity enough. Just
no matter how sedentary it's
sit in the great outdoors, the activity enough.
That's what it's all about. And you just can't have a lawnmower hitting the picnic table being an inherent.
If Mr. Brown had purchased a fishing license in order to engage in his activities that day, would your claim be outside the State Tort Claims Act?
No. No, it didn't make any difference whether he, and by golly, he purchased one afterwards. But I'm just saying that has nothing to do with it. We're strictly talking about sitting at that picnic table and whether a lawnmower coming down the lawn banging into me and my kids and everybody else sitting at the picnic table is an inherent danger, and it shouldn't be. It just should not be. We should be able to go to the park and not have to move away when we hear the lawnmower coming from the picnic table. Anything else?
No, thank
you. Okay, thanks.
Counsel?
May it please the court, I am Charles Chamberlain, an Assistant Attorney General for the State of Nebraska, here on behalf of the State of Nebraska. In this case, Mr. Brown was utilizing maintained space and sitting at a table while the state actively maintained the space and drove around the table.
It doesn't seem to me that being in a space while it's being maintained is a recreational activity. So I'd like you to focus in on what exactly the state is claiming the recreational activity that we should focus on is.
All right, Your Honor. So I would first turn the court to the statutes. Nebraska Revised Statute, Chapter 81, 8219, subsection 13 or 14, depending on what year you're looking at the statutes, right? And if you go further down into subsection B1, contains a definition of recreational activities. It's actually a fairly long list, although it's not totally inclusive, but it includes such things as visiting, viewing, or enjoying events, festivals, or scenery, or sites, and any other similar leisure activities.
He wasn't there to see the mower, right? That's not part of the recreational activity. Would you concede that?
I don't believe he was there to see a mower, no. But I do believe he was there to use maintained space. And I think as the district court correctly concluded, in order to have maintained space, you have to maintain it. And in this specific type of setting where you have a public park that is open to the public, you don't control at what time people are or are not there. Does that make sense? So if we're looking at a framework as how you're going to imply the inherent risk recreational exception, I think it's correct that part of that you have to define the recreational activity. And when you're defining that activity, you have to take into account the context of the activity. Fishing is a great example. The context of where you're fishing is going to determine the inherent risks. Are you ice fishing? Are you fishing from a shore? Are you fishing from a boat? Are you fishing around a whole bunch of other people where you're packed in tight? Are you fishing from a bridge? You change this context and you immediately change the inherent risks that accompany that activity. In order to change the inherent risks that happen in this case, you'd have to take away the fact that we were driving a lawnmower around the table. That's how you get away from the risk of the lawnmower being around the table. You remove the lawnmower from the table. And so what the state is arguing is that full context matters, and that the district court took into account that full context. You're asking me to define the recreational activity. I believe he was visiting, viewing, and enjoying the scenic sites at the state park. And when you do that in a maintained space while there's active maintenance occurring, you incur different inherent risks than if you did it in a different context. There's been no allegation of fact here that Mr. Brown was unaware that maintenance was ongoing, that Mr. Brown was unaware that there was a lawnmower on the other side of his table. That's not a fact in this case. It's not even an alleged fact. It's not even alleged that if he had more time, he could have found that fact.
Would it matter to your analysis if he knew or not? I mean, aren't you saying it doesn't matter either way? You get plowed by a mower while you're sitting at a table. That's just the risk of sitting in a maintained area.
Well, I think it would matter whether he knew the lawnmower was there. I don't think it matters whether he...
Why would it matter under your analysis?
Because I believe the statute anticipates people willfully engaging in an activity. So if you're going to look at the context of the activity, I think you have to look at the known context. So for example, if the lawnmower operator was impaired that morning, if he was intoxicated, if it was something that was that would have been outside the knowledge of the person engaging in the activity, that context would matter, but it would matter to show that it's not part of the willful activity that the defendant was participating in. That's not an alleged fact here. What we're talking about is a matter of...
Would it be willful activity by a state actor?
I'm sorry, can you repeat?
Would it be willful activity by a state actor?
So
being
if I understand...
Being drunk and driving a lawnmower.
Driving a lawnmower is a willful activity from the state actor, but what we're talking about here is the activity that the individual is engaging in and its context, right?
So that willful activity is sitting on a picnic table while a mower is in the vicinity.
Not just in the vicinity, but directly mowing along your...
Well,
because
moving.
It would matter,
it's
right?
It's moving. I
correct.
Mean, it wasn't sitting there and bumped into it. It was moving, so it was in the vicinity. It was going towards the table. It wasn't at the table when it started. It went
correct.
Towards the table.
Correct.
So
I guess
is that the willful activity?
The wolf
sitting at the table with a lawnmower is close by.
Right, and I think that the extent and how close it is would matter, right? So if they're mowing on the opposite side of the field, or if they're mowing 20 feet away, it's different than when they're coming to your table and mowing around your table and you're still there. I think there's been no allegation that it wasn't a conscious decision to sit there at that table while they mowed around it.
So Mr. Brown had a responsibility to move when he heard the mower get close if he wanted to protect himself?
Well, at this point, we're talking about whether or not immunity has attached. So that question starts to go towards perhaps what would be a contributory negligence standard, right?
But we wouldn't get there if we're outside the State Tort Claims Act. We never even bother with contributory negligence.
Exactly. So what we're asking here isn't whether it was reasonable for him to sit at the table or whether he subjectively understood the risks that he was exposed to, but whether you could remove those risks without changing the
not
context
subjective.
Of what was occurring.
So instead of saying this particular plaintiff, not subjective, right, you're just saying would a reasonable person sit at a table if that reasonable person knew mowing was going on?
Well, I would contend that that's the contributory negligence standard. What I'm asserting is...
What the inherent risk is. You're,
correct.
You're arguing, if I understand you, that it's not an inherent risk of sitting at a picnic table with a drunk mower operator, but it is an inherent risk with having a reasonably careful mower operator. You're going to... That's... It's just inherent in having mowing as part of the maintenance. But it seems to me between your extremes there, there's something in the middle of a not-so-reasonably careful mower operator. Is that an inherent risk?
Well, I believe that there is a spectrum and there's a matter of degree, right? So where I would draw the line or suggest the line should be drawn is whether we're talking about issues of precision. And so I'll try to make an analogy, right? So when we look at a case that has been supported by the appellant, a baseball case where somebody throws a baseball and the pitcher hits the batter, right? The difference between hitting the batter and not hitting the batter is a matter of inches. And it's a matter of a flick of the wrist, right? The matter of whether this lawnmower hits the picnic table or not in this situation is a matter of inches. Perhaps it's a matter of a little bit on the throttle. Perhaps it's a matter of the condition of the grass. So if we're talking about issues that are a matter of small precision, and the other standard, if we're applying a different standard, then we're saying you have to be perfect in your precision. So if we're talking about instances of precision, where we are here, where a small change might affect a larger outcome, I think those are the type of inherent risks that you're characteristic of. The closer you move towards something that's gross negligence or intentional act, the farther away you get from what would be an inherent risk. And I think that's why context matters, right? That's why the pled facts and the context matter to get you there.
Sounds to me like you're saying it's a factual matter for the finder of fact and that it maybe can't be determined on the pleadings. Does that help or hurt you?
Well, in this situation, with this case, there's been no allegation that the problem is we don't have the full facts, right? The appellant hasn't argued if I had more time to discover more facts, I could do so and I could change the context.
Didn't the... I'm not sure that's entirely fair to the plaintiff, because after the court dismissed, granted the motion to dismiss, the plaintiff asked for clarification on whether leave was going to be given to amend the complaint.
But if you look at that
and
motion...
And I believe that was denied.
It was. But if you look at that motion, what he was arguing is he was basically asking the court to reconsider your application of law. He didn't say, I need more time to find the facts. He said, I think you applied the law wrong. to the facts. So in the complaint, the other thing I would note is that in this type of situation where the state is being sued, the actual run-up to litigation can be drastically different than between two non-governmental plaintiffs. A claim has to be filed. There's an investigation that goes on from the Attorney General's office. There's an investigation from the risk manager. There's an opportunity to present your claim to a claim board.
Did all that happen here?
It did. And so
should he have been, I'm sorry.
Is it reflected in the complaint?
In the complaint, he reflects that it went before, that he filed a claim, that it went before the claims board, and that it was denied.
So should he have been given leave to amend the complaint?
Not if he alleges that, he hasn't alleged anything that would lead an amendment to change the outcome. His allegation
should he have been given an opportunity to do so?
If he could have provided a reason as to why more facts were necessary, and had he actually made that argument, perhaps, but he didn't. So in this case, I'm going to say no. But if in a different case, somebody comes in and says, look, when this guy hit the picnic table with his lawnmower, my client looked at him, and he had some reason to believe maybe this guy was on medication or something, wasn't operating the way he should have. We need more factual finding, because I can't tell the court at this point. Perhaps we have a very different outcome when you're talking about a motion to dismiss and you're looking at the pled facts. I see that I'm out of time. If there are no further questions.
I see none. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have a little time left, is that right?
There is 3 seconds.
Well, that's tailor-made for you.
Well, all I'm saying I don't think there should be a law that when we're sitting at our picnic table at our state parks and we hear a lawnmower, we got to get out of the way. We got to move the food. We got to get the kids off that picnic table because of Brown versus State. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Next case of the day is White versus White.